This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We continue talking to the candidates. We've got 4 days to go until Tuesday, November 8th. And joining us this afternoon, Republican candidate for governor, Christine Drazen, back on. Christine, thanks for being on with us again.
Thanks so much for having me, Kyle.
So, one national news writer on one of our early morning national shows this morning said that if you win, it'll be the victory of the year for the GOP on a national level. What's your reaction to that?
That is incredible. But what it actually represents from, you know, my perspective, being here on the ground in Oregon, is the opportunity for Oregonians to actually redirect their life here in Oregon and really choose a new direction for our state. For me, this isn't about national politics. This isn't about party achievement. This is about serving Oregonians and giving Oregonians a very real opportunity to begin to address some of the significant challenges we've been facing as a state and tackle those problems in a way that recognize that Oregonians need new leadership.
Now, this race has obviously gotten a lot of national attention. You've been on a few times with Clay Travis and Buck Sexton that we have on in the morning. You've gotten attention from other places as well. The other two main candidates also getting national attention. How busy are you going to be between now and Tuesday?
It is a full schedule. I'm really looking forward to all the opportunities we have. I'm on my way down to Harrisburg in Eugene area today. We'll have a rally. Lots of opportunities to meet with folks. We're gonna hit six cities between Sunday and Monday, and we're gonna be all over the place. It is so important that Oregonians recognize in this year the ones that vote, the ones that show up, are going to be the ones that are going to decide the future of our state.
As you've been into this race and as we've gone through this period of the fall, do you ever look around and wonder if you're doing the right thing?
No, I don't. I really feel really strongly that this was the right decision, that it's so important right now, and I'm so committed to doing everything that I can to make things better. I really believe that for my family and for families across this state, that we need new leadership. And I am honored and I'm grateful to be a part of this conversation with Oregonians about what do they want? You know, do they want someone to try a new approach on homelessness? Do they want more of a focus on community safety? Do they want a new focus on student achievement in the classroom? It's important that Oregonians know that it is possible for us to actually address these significant challenges and do it in a way that supports needs.
Now, while you spent just a few years in the legislature, you earlier were around the legislature as a staff person. Talk about the things you learned during that time.
Yeah, I had this incredible opportunity in my 20s, just sort of fresh out of college, to be a part of the legislative process as a staff person, as you mentioned. And I saw a Democrat in the governor's office and Republicans with strong majorities in both the House and the Senate here in Salem. And they negotiated and they fought the good fight and they compromised with each other. And where compromise wasn't possible, they tried again and tried the next time. And that really was an example to me of what our state really needs longer term. And that's to have more voices at the table, to really have the kind of political balance that ensures that all the perspectives across our state, urban perspectives, rural perspectives, suburban, that they have a fair shot at this marketplace of ideas, that people aren't shut out from their own government just, you know, by the partisan nature of single party control. Really means that you basically have Democrats talking to Democrats all day long. And that philosophical approach can be pretty narrow when we're trying to solve the real challenges we have in front of us.
Now, if you win, you're likely going to face a legislature led by Democrats. Some would say that might lead to deadlock on some things. How do you work around that and avoid deadlock?
I think that because our Constitution requires that we balance the budget, that if we have policy differences on policy matters, that it's, you know, that's the value of the veto. you draw people to the table and you say, you know, we need to compromise on this, and if we don't compromise, you're not going to be able to move that idea forward. That's healthy. It's positive. It's checks and balances. I don't view that as deadlock. I view that as standing up for balance in our state civic life. On the other side of that, we have to get a budget passed. And so there will be compromise. There will be negotiation. We have a constitutional duty to do that, and I look forward to that opportunity.
What are your thoughts about working across the aisle?
I think it's positive for Oregonians. We. Right now, for more of that, for the opportunity to work across the aisle, we just haven't seen it very much. The numbers didn't require it. Single party control didn't require it. But Oregonians need that.
Now, will that idea of working across the aisle, will that include possibly staff or advisors that are not Republicans?
Oh, I will hire for core competencies. There is not a partisan litmus test. Having said that, I will ask for the resignations of Kate Brown's agency heads on day one. We need a new direction. And the people that have been leading far too many of our government agencies at a state level have shown that they don't have core competencies in a way that ensures that services to Oregonians are available to them when they need them most. And I will replace agency heads. I'm going to replace the head of the Oregon Health Authority. I'm going to replace the person that's leading the Oregon Department of Education right now. And the list goes on from there. I really believe strongly that we need change in those agencies. We need a new mindset, a new perspective, customer service oriented, problem solving oriented, not partisan, but core competencies in those areas that they're responsible for.
So does that apply across the board? I mean, does that apply to every state agency that you'll be replacing the head?
It will apply to all state agencies that I'll ask for their resignations. Whether or not we have a conversation, and not all agencies are in free fall. We have some agencies that are functioning, that are serving Oregonians, that are focused on their mission and their work. And so those will be conversations that I have with those agency heads. They need to be aligned with my vision for how government should operate in service to Oregonians. And if they are, then they'll stay in their positions. And if they're not, I will replace them.
Talk about state government overall, along with the agency head discussion. What other changes would you like to make at the front end?
I will be reviewing rules and regulations across the board. Right now, Governor Kate Brown's agencies are furiously adopting a slew of new rules and regulations prior to her final day in office. Many of these new rules and regulations don't have a statutory authority to back them up, and they are making them effective at the beginning of January, just before Kate Brown's out of office. I find that to be really dramatically inappropriate given where we are right now in the election cycle. And so I will use the first 100 days of my office to have a public process, communicate with Oregonians and with the regulated communities out there about the rules and regulations that we should, you know, repeal, revise, or roll back, and have a conversation about how we can make Oregon more affordable, how we can support business expansion and new jobs across our state, and how we can have more local control and less top-down control for Salem.
Talk about what you would do in terms of Oregon's rules and regulations and the business community, whether that be Intel or mom-and-pop stores.
You know, everybody is bound by the same level of bureaucracy. And when I've been talking to folks that run businesses across our state, you know, they want to be out serving their customers, and instead they're filling in forms and they're checking boxes for regulators right now. Now, the extent to which that bureaucracy and that regulation protects and supports, you know, public health and public safety, all those things are absolutely essential, and those will continue. But a lot of these regulations really are, to some extent, politically driven. And for that level of bureaucracy that's recently been added, I will take a hard look at revising and rolling those back. What we need to recognize is that people that are in business are important and valued members of our communities. The mom and pops, you know, mid-sized businesses, large businesses, they all are courageous. They create jobs. You know, they weather the storm. and they support our little league teams as well as, you know, families across our state that are depending on those jobs to support their families and put food on the table. And we need to recognize that Oregon is not a business-friendly state. We're not a jobs-friendly state, and we need to be.
And what about, especially in the Portland area, a number of the downtown long-time, decades-long retailers and others who have either packed up and headed to the suburbs or in some cases closed down or moved to another state as well?
Yeah, we need to not give up on Portland. We need Portland to be a city that is welcoming and safe again. It's going to take some time, and it's certainly going to take cooperation from the leaders in Portland. They've got to want that for their own community as well. But across our state, we need to have a vibrant downtown core. At the same time, we need to have strong communities in all corners of Oregon. And far too often, the rules and regulations that they can sustain in Portland that can be imposed on businesses in an urban setting don't work when you leave that urban core. You know, they don't work as well to mandate how many parking spots you can have and whether or not people can drive their cars to work and all those kinds of things. Doesn't work outside of Portland. We need to recognize that Oregon is a diverse and beautiful state, and it takes different things to make different communities work based on where they're located.
A big portion of the state budget is tied into education. What are some of the things you would do differently in that arena?
I will be restoring graduation requirements. I will be encouraging our local school districts and school boards to tell me what they need to improve student outcomes. That means that we are going to have a tight focus on academics in the classroom under my administration. And I'm going to encourage open enrollment, and I'm going to fight to take the cap off of charter schools. I believe that families that are not being served by their local school, if their kiddos are struggling in their local school, we need to be able to ensure that families have the opportunity to make sure that their student gets the education that they need to succeed. And in some cases, that means open enrollment. That means enrolling your student in a different public school, or it means enrolling your student in a charter school. There shouldn't be limits on what families can choose for their own students within Oregon here. We cannot limit a student's opportunity at excellence and success based on their home address.
For decades, Oregon's education system included an elected superintendent of public instruction. That changed in the past few years. Would you like to go back to that?
Yeah, I have always supported restoring that responsibility as an elected position. You know, our obligation to the next generation is to do our absolute best to ensure that kids that go through Oregon public schools have a strong education and they're ready to compete in the global marketplace. And we have failed to do that in recent years. Restoring that position to an elected position gives them sole responsibility. They are accountable to voters. They're accountable to families directly. It's not an unelected bureaucratic position. Now, right now, as governor, I will be the superintendent of public instruction as well. And I will operate from a position of being accountable to families and students themselves to turn our schools around. But I absolutely welcome the opportunity to take that responsibility and give it to someone whose sole focus is improving our schools.
Now, with all the changes in education and a number of the career technical areas not requiring a four-year degree, community colleges getting more attention, do you feel like that level is getting adequate funding right now?
Well, I am such a big fan of community colleges. Our community colleges are the lowest barrier point of entry for our kids to be able to move on to, you know, whether or not it's their first 2 years and they go on to a traditional four-year school, or whether or not they are there to earn a technical degree or a certificate. Our community colleges need our support. And, you know, when we're facing the potential of a recession, we know that more and more pressure will be applied to our community colleges. And I will be there to be supportive of them. I believe that they are fantastic partners and responsive to the local workforce needs. And they know how to partner with businesses. They know how to partner with families and communities. They're accountable locally in the communities that they serve. And I absolutely believe that the extent to which the state can continue to support those efforts, it benefits all Oregonians.
You mentioned the state budget earlier. That involves the legislature and the governor's office crafting and agreeing and getting that passed. But are there areas of change that you would advocate for and push for as governor?
Yes, I will be supporting a partial freeze on employment right now at the state, with some exceptions. I will fully staff out and fund our state police, and I will expand the positions that are available to coordinate homeless response at a state level after I've declared homelessness a state of emergency and begin the work to partner with local governments on that. But outside of that, I am concerned about the possibility that the state is not doing enough to prepare for a possible recession, and that as inflation rises, as costs increase, they also increase at a state level, and our ability to continue to provide current services to Oregonians when they need them most requires that our budget is right-sized to the revenues that will be coming in from Oregonians, and I think that we have to do more to prepare for that. So from the governor's office, my office will be preparing the initial budget for consideration for the legislature to consider. That's the first budget that comes before policymakers, before it goes through the formal budgeting process and gets revised throughout that process, and I will be working in partnership with legislators to get that done. But it's very important that we have an appropriate, responsible, prudent budget moving forward for our state, and that we're not overspending it, and at that point, asking for more taxes from Oregonians when they can least afford it.
You mentioned the state police. I don't know how many times early in the morning or weekend hours there'll be some traffic issue or a chase or something. And I'm listening to the police scanner, what they come back with is that Oregon State Police doesn't have anybody working at that hour and they've got to call somebody out. Do you have a particular level of workforce in OSP that you would like to get them back up to?
You know, we are at about 8 per 100,000 Oregonians right now. And I'm going to continue to go back to a gold standard for that number. I think nationally that number should be closer to about 30 per 100,000 Oregonians, and I'm going to work towards that.
Talk about, as you kind of go through some of the things you're looking at, you mentioned homelessness. What are some of the specific things, along with declaring that emergency, that you would do following that?
Yeah, we need to better understand who is actually on our streets right now. We do a point-in-time count, as you know, once a year, to better understand how many homeless individuals there are sheltered or unsheltered across Oregon. And it is my commitment to approach homelessness in a case management approach. So we recognize, you know, if we have a homeless individual who's a veteran who has access to veteran services, let's get them plugged in. If it's a homeless individual that's a single mom with kids, there are shelters that are specifically designed to support them. Let's make sure that they have access to those services. I look at this challenge not as an anonymous number, but as Oregonians that, in fact, have unique needs and unique concerns. Working with local governments, providing more support at a state level, I believe that we can begin to address this challenge in a way that is much more responsive and much more targeted to the unique needs of individual Oregonians that are experiencing homelessness right now. And for those that decline those services, for those that say, you know, I'm here because I want to camp outside and I'm actively using drugs every single day, and this is the most convenient way for me to access drugs and hold on to this lifestyle, the answer is no. They will not be allowed to continue to just live on our sidewalks and in our public parks. You don't get to choose drug use and outside living, and instead of access to shelter space and services and supports that can help you get clean, stay clean and sober, and live a life of long-term recovery and productive engagement in your own life and your own community. That really is the transition point where you say we're going to provide compassion and access to services, and should you decline, we will not turn a blind eye any longer.
As you are in the final days here, a number of the votes have already come in. I think we're about 35% here in Douglas County. It probably varies around the state. What are some of the things you'd say for folks who are still deciding? I mean, you have the two major parties. You've got a strong, non-affiliated candidate. You've got other minor party candidates. This is sort of a historic race in Oregon, and a lot of folks still have not made up their mind.
Yeah, I have just that one simple question for Oregonians. Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? If the answer is yes, then you have two candidates on the ballot that will continue the status quo. You've got, Betsy Johnson, a 20-year lifelong Democrat, And you've got Tina Kotak, who has voted with Kate Brown 99% of the time. If you want more of the same, you have two candidates on the ballot to choose from. If you want a new direction for our state, if you want balance in our political life, if you want action on homelessness, public safety, schools, and affordability, then I'm asking for you to join me. I'm asking for you to vote for me on November the 8th. This is our opportunity to turn our state around. This is our opportunity to work together as Oregonians in common cause and recognize that what we have been doing hasn't been working and that we have to choose change and that we can, in fact, make significant progress on these challenges if we work together.
And just about ready to wrap up. If people want to find out more or get connected with your positions, tell us about your social media website and all that.
Yeah, you can find out more at christinefororegon.com. You can find my roadmap for Oregon's future. It talks about my priorities in this race and how I will be approaching my first 100 days of leadership in the governor's office and beyond. And I would welcome questions and welcome support. And I just appreciate the fact that Oregonians themselves are the ones who are going to choose the future of our state. I'm asking them to consider choosing change this election, and I would welcome their support.
All right, Republican candidate for governor, Christine Drazen, thanks for being on.
Thank you so much, Kyle.
1257 Inside Douglas County on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.